Well, good morning, everybody. And we do pray for Pastor Curtis and Ginger to have safe travels as well as their time in Florida. Folks, I got to tell you, I am so humbled to be asked to speak again to you folks, to deliver a message that, of course, I take directly out of our Holy Bible. So I'm just beyond words. I can't believe that you would ask me to do this. Well, okay, so I do want to let you know today that my shoe's untied.
I'll just keep walking around, you'll trip.
A chapter and verse for that.
Yeah, yeah.
What verse do I look up to?
That's what Alice said. Chapter and verse on that one? Missed that in all my years. A little bit lower, Jason, because I'm going to get exuberant. Okay, other than my shoelace, I want to let you know today that today's message is about one of the most significant topics of us as Christians. And that topic is, well, before I get to that, I'm going to tell you we're going to talk about that for just a little while. The most important message and topic for Christians. But then we're going to take a sharp turn, and it's going to get interesting, so hang on. So I don't want to put you to work, but I'm going to. What is salvation? Just somebody.
I studied it. It's protection. The helmet of salvation.
I like that, the helmet of salvation.
Protection.
Anybody else? Okay. The scripture is clear that salvation is the gracious, undeserved gift of God. We read this in Ephesians 2 and in Acts 4, and is only available through faith in Jesus Christ. Can we all agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So how do we receive salvation? We are saved by faith, by Ephesians 1 tells us, first, we must hear the gospel, the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection. And in Romans, we learn, then we must believe, fully trust the Lord Jesus. And in Acts, this involves repentance, a changing of the mind about sin and Jesus Christ. And by calling on the name of the Lord, a definition of the Christian doctrine of salvation is the deliverance by grace of God from external punishment for sin that is granted to those who accept by faith God's conditions of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please guide me and help me in bringing your words to life so that our church family can understand your meaning and your expectations of us as we follow you, Lord, and that we are saved by faith in only you. In God's holy name we pray. Amen. All right. Salvation involves the redemption of the whole man or woman. We need to be correct here. And is offered freely to all who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In its broadest sense, salvation includes, you've heard all these, regeneration, justification, sanctification, and glorification. There is no salvation apart from personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, regeneration, justification, sanctification, and glorification, we've had plenty of messages that broke down each of those, and that's not what we're here to do today. And you're not going to be tested on that later. As we have discussed salvation this morning, how many times have we mentioned faith? Several, right? Okay. So, if we boil it down to its simplest terms and define salvation in the most basic terms, we can say salvation is by faith. Okay? We have to know what faith means, but salvation is by faith. Okay. So once again, we gain salvation by our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we learn from countless scriptures that God, our Father, loves us unconditionally. Do we all agree with that? Okay, we've been paying attention. For example, in Romans chapter 8, we learn, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love that God, the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." So He loves us unconditionally, and nothing can change that. Okay. Now we're getting to what I want to talk about today. Here comes the sharp turn. So if our God loves us so much, why doesn't He take us straight to heaven at the moment of our salvation? What?
Good question.
Thank you. Thank you. I agree. And that's why I put this message together. Because this is something I struggled with in my young walk with Jesus, in my young Christian life. Well, the answer can be said simply, but it's not so simple. Because there's much more to our being here on earth than sin, than birth, sin, and then salvation. God's plan for us is much greater. He leaves us here to serve. What does that mean? Okay, we can guess. In Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10, we learn, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now wait just a cotton pick a minute. What the heck is this works stuff? Okay? I thought we just established that all we need to do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and bingo, we're in. No. Not. Well, we're in. That's it. We're in. Absolutely. But it comes back to, so what are we doing here? And this is the confusion for many, the confusion between salvation, faith, and works. I know many of you have likely already sorted this out in your own minds, in which case today's message will likely be a good review. However, for each of us, we may get a good overview and perhaps fresh information regarding what God has planned for us, for you and for me. John chapter 5 says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. And those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." Those who have done what is good. That's works, okay? So while we're here on earth, we are to do what is good. Scripture tells us that. Let me clear it up this way, because I don't want to make it any more confusing. We are saved by grace, not by works. But we are created to do good works. And doing what is good is works. We've heard it said, we cannot do what God must do. But God will not do what we should do. Therefore, we must ask ourselves, are we doing what we should be doing? Are we doing the work God expects us to do? On a little side note here, is attending church considered works? To some people, does God give us credit for attending church? Well, let's once and for all get rid of this concept of credits, okay? Salvation is not competitive. Your goal should not be to get more credits or points than your neighbor. Believe me, there is a place in heaven for each and every one of us. It's not limited to only those who get the most points. Okay, so much for the side note. As most of you know, our church is a member of the Southern Baptist Conference. And the Southern Baptist Conference is a church committed to preaching the Word as it is in the Bible. And I'm here to tell you our pastor, Curtis, does a phenomenal job sticking to the Bible. Yes. Amen. I can't go on enough about him, and you know that. This includes all the feel-good messages of the Bible, as well as those that may make us feel a bit less comfortable. We do not whitewash or apologize for what the Bible says. I'll go into a little more detail about the Baptist faith and message a little bit later. As most of you know me, I do not believe that it is appropriate to call out any particular religious group by name because of their beliefs. And I won't do so now, except for the purpose of illustration, I will mention in general that there are some religions who believe that you are saved by works. Even that you can gain different levels of prominence in heaven according to the quantity and quality of your works. This is not biblical. And we, as Baptist Christians, believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. In 2 Timothy, Paul teaches us, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's that works again, okay? In Hebrews chapter 10, we read about a call to persevere in faith. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. More work. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now let's take a look at what our Baptist faith and message has to say about today's subject. Our Baptist faith and message makes it clear our belief in salvation. But does it say anything about works? Well, yeah, it does. Section 13 discusses stewardship. Stewardship in of itself is works, generally speaking. God is the source of all blessings, temporal and spiritual. That all we have and are, we owe to Him. As Christians, we have a spiritual debtorship of the whole world. That's pretty heavy. And a holy trusteeship in the gospel. and a binding stewardship in their possessions. We are therefore under obligation to serve Him with our time, talents, and material possessions. We should recognize all of these as entrusted to us for the use of the glory of God and for helping others. According to scriptures, Christians should continue their, Christians should contribute their means cheerfully, regularly, systematically, proportionately, and liberally for the advancement of the Redeemer's cause on earth. This is word for word in our faith and message. Section 14 describes cooperation. And this kind of touches on that, why I don't agree it's appropriate to call out other religions specifically. Members of the New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forward the missionary, educational, and benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. Christian unity in the New Testament sense is spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation for the common ends by various groups of Christ people. I believe that leaves room for those who are not Southern Baptist. Okay? Cooperation is desirable between the various Christian denominations, which the end to be attained is in itself justified, and when such cooperation involves no violation or conscience of compromise of the loyalty of Christ and His Word as revealed in the New Testament. Section 15 outlines the Christian and the social order. All Christians are under obligation to seek to make the will of Christ supreme in our own lives and in human society. Means and methods used for the improvement of society and the establishment of righteousness among men can be truly and permanently helpful only when they are rooted in the regeneration of the individual by the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. So the means and methods are important. We should work to provide for the orphaned, the needy, the abused, the aged, the helpless, and the sick. We should speak on behalf of the unborn and contend for the sanctity of all human life, from conception to natural death. Every Christian should seek to bring industry, government, and society as a whole under the sway of principles of righteousness, truth, and brotherly love. In order to promote these ends, Christians should be ready to work with all men of goodwill and in any good cause, always being careful to act in the spirit of love without compromising their loyalty to Christ and His truth. If you'd like to read the entire Baptist Faith and Message, we have these little pamphlets out in the lobby, or you can go online to SBC and pull it up and even print it out if you'd like, because these letters are way too small for me to read. I have to print it out and enlarge it. So hopefully we've helped to clarify some of the confusion between salvation, faith, and works. We have established that salvation results from the gracious, undeserved gift of God and is only available through faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Therefore, we are saved by grace, not by works. We are created, however, we are created to do good works. And in our works, we must be gracious and humble. Matthew tells us in chapter 6, the words of Jesus Christ at the Sermon on the Mount of our duty. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, but to be honored by others. Okay, I don't like to call that other religions, but apparently Jesus didn't have a problem with it on the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't call them out by name, but he sure pointed a direct finger at who he was talking about. We must honor our relationship with God. One of the ways to honor our relationship with God is to do good works. Any questions? Okay, like I said last time y'all invited me up here, I would make a horrible preacher because I didn't go near long enough. But let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you brought us all here safely, and we pray that you see us home safely. We love to hear your word. Your word inspires us, guides us, and helps us inspire others to come and seek your word, to come and visit us in your house so we can share that word. Lord, help us go out into the communities and help clarify your word and help bring people to it. See us all home safely, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen.